Today, we speak with New Zealand homeopath Jesse Coleman. Jess and I actually completed our final year of high school together in Auckland and in Oriwa, and then we bumped into each other in homeopathic college a few years later, and it's been lovely to be in touch with her ever since. Jessie is a registered homeopath, a CEES practitioner, and a QRA consultant, and she completed her homeopathic qualification at the College of Natural Health and Homeopathy. After Jess completed her studies, she joined Healing Haven in Auckland, and in 2021, she launched her own business called Fruition Mind Body Health. Jess is passionate about homeopathic community growing together and raising awareness about simple homeopathy. She offers consultations, homeoprophylaxis, and homeopathic detox, as well as a homeopathic dispensary in central Whangarei. She is the New Zealand representative of Radar Opus Homeopathic Software and volunteers at the Homeopathic Society. Along with Kate Fitness, she runs the Cakes and Cases groups and the Homeopathy at Home New Zealand group and admins the Homeopathic Network Facebook group with me. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Welcome to the Homeopathy Hangout, where we discuss all things homeopathy from around the world. And now my mum and your host, Eugenie Kruger.
Hello, homies, and a very warm welcome to Homeopathy Hangout. Today, we get to hang out with a very, very special homeopath that is very dear to my heart and that I love so, so much, the gorgeous Jesse Coleman, all the way from Aotearoa, New Zealand. Welcome, Jesse.
Sorry, you make me cry.
The crowd goes wild.
No. Yeah, it's good to catch up finally.
Finally. So do you mind if I give a bit of a backstory?
Yeah, okay. I didn't mean to run through, but you just do you. Yeah.
So when I was 17, I went to New Zealand from South Africa after being a good little Christian school with uniforms, all girls, into Orewa College in Auckland, where there's boys and we didn't have uniforms in our year. And there was this shining, glowing light, this beautiful girl, Jessie, who everybody loved. And I was like, oh my God, she's so cool. And then 10 years later, went to homeopathic college. And I'm like, oh, who's that cool chick? I want to be her friend. And we're like looking at each other going, you look familiar. And worked out that we had gone to Ariwa College together. I don't know what your version of the story is.
Yeah, same. Except no, not the cool, no.
Well, do you want to tell us, Jessie, how did you first discover homeopathy?
Actually, I wanted to be a naturopath, but I do have a couple of homeopathy stories. My mum took me to one when I was two. I had recurring tonsillitis. And she just got sick of the antibiotics and, you know, more antibiotics, and it kept coming back. And she took me to a homeopath who prescribed something. She can't remember what. I think it was Muxol. And I didn't get tonsillitis again for 25 years until I was sort of on my OE. And then I got tonsillitis again.
Is OE a word that people use outside of New Zealand?
Oh, no.
I know what it means.
Overseas experience. Yeah. So we flocked to overseas and
create havoc.
Life. Yeah. So that was cool. I did go to a homeopath once when I was overseas, actually, in the UK, which I forgot all about, which was a very interesting experience. And she sent me, I didn't know anything after the consult. I didn't get any information, and she sent me a couple of pills. So I don't know what they were or what happened really. And then I had my baby, who will be 16 next month.
Wow. Handsome. Yeah. Boy, such a handsome boy. Both your boys are gorgeous, but 16, crazy.
I know. Where's it gone? And he had really bad eczema from 2 months old, from head to toe. And so while I was running around trying to sort that out, trying everything I could think of, I was decided to retrain in natural health. And I'd always had an interest in like minerals and supplements and things like that, all the naturopathy stuff. So I thought that's what I would do. And then somehow, I can't even remember how it happened, but I stumbled across this homeopathy course and signed up. And that was it. I've just been a homeopath ever since and used it ever since. It was just one of those weird things. And I can't even remember the decision-making process that led me to it, but that was it. I actually wanted to be a medical herbalist when I was left school, but it was 4 years and I was 18 and 4 years seemed like 50 years to me back then. So yeah, I forgot all about that too, but that's how it started, the love affair.
Yeah, never ending. You have many other skills as well, because Jessie was helping me out at some stage doing writing. She's the most beautiful writer and she has a way of putting things so succinctly. So some of my blogs is actually Jessie that wrote them. Her name is on there. She's an incredible writer as well. And just, yeah, great dancer too.
Well, gosh,
so many talents. So, Jessie, one of my things that I like to do is just obviously get people from all over the world on the show to just hear what the scene of homeopathy is like there as well. We're going to talk about lots of stuff, but I'm really interested in what is the scene like of homeopathy in New Zealand at the moment? Because it's been almost 7 years now that I've left. So how are things going there at the moment?
Hasn't it been longer? Did you?
Yeah. 2016, yeah, September
2016. Wow.
Time is just weird, yeah. Hey? It's very weird.
It is weird. We've been here nearly 8 years, so I don't know.
That, hey?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I thought you left before us. But anyway, it is really interesting in New Zealand. We've had a time through COVID and lockdowns and things, and a lot of things had, you know, it was quite a time for us. And now it's really exciting. Also, we've got the Therapeutic Products Bill, which has been making waves and has been passed since.
Oh.
Yeah, but it doesn't.
Do you want to say a tiny bit about that? I mean, we did have an episode with Barbara where she kind of went a little bit more in there, but just in case, because that was like maybe 60 episodes ago, just for the newer listeners, just a quick little rundown.
Yeah, so it is. Barbara's much better at this than I am.
Well, this is just a teaser. They can go back and listen to the other episode, but you can give them a teaser.
And please do. And she's done just a radio interview. I wrote this down because I thought I might forget. She's done a radio interview with Reality Check Radio with Paul Brennan about it being passed and things like that. So the Therapeutic Products Bill is set to regulate all sorts of natural health products and things like that. All sorts of medical products as well. It will be quite restrictive with our products. There's things in there about using using tissue from animals or humans that will be restricted.
Yeah, it sounded like there was basically the potential for them to misuse it. Like it is with a lot of these bills, hey, like if their intentions are pure, then there's nothing to worry about, but they can easily twist it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the fact is that once we get to a certain dilution, there is nothing scientifically molecular about our remedy. So whether or not that's taken into account. The other thing is that it will restrict, you know, dispensing. I think you'll have to have a license to dispense. I don't know all that much about it because I'm like, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And that will obviously be difficult. We'll have to do a consult with our clients before we give any remedies at all. So there will be no sort of over-the-countering sort of situations there or online dispensaries or things like that. So that has been a big thing that's happened in New Zealand. And Barbara's knows all about that and all the bits. And she's really good at breaking it down and translating that to like me.
And me.
But what that has prompted is that the Homeopathic Society, the New Zealand Council of Homeopaths, and the College of Natural Health and Homeopathy, which is what the Bay of Plenty College that we studied at is now called, are coming together under one umbrella called Homeopathy New Zealand with the purpose, and I'm probably not the right person to be talking about this, but the purpose really to get things up for the future of homeopathy and come together and sort of protect homeopathy, grow it all together, moving forward into our future, which is so cool. And it's such an exciting time to be in New Zealand, I think, with all that happening. So with the society, they are going back to grassroots, trying to educate people at a grassroots level. They also help homeopaths to put on courses. They fund a lot of things. They'll give them grants to go visit the book room in Rotorua.
Oh, you won one of those grants. I think I saw that. Can you tell us about that?
Oh, it was so cool. So the society used to be in Mount Eden, but it has moved to Rotorua. The book room has itself. The rest, everything else is sort of online now. But the book room's beautiful. Did you see the pictures? Did you see any pictures?
Yes, I did. I was so jealous. You looked like you were in your element. I mean, I wasn't jealous. I actually was so happy for you, but I would have just loved to be there with you. Just seeing all those books, I would have loved to sleep there. Can you imagine having a sleep out there? That would be so cool.
Yes, I mean, I thought a day I'd be kind of drained after a day of studying. You know, you think that. And I just went in there. I was like, I'm definitely a homeopath. I think that was a really confirming moment that I, you know, when you're so excited to be in a homeopathic book room, it was beautiful. And the people down there at Natural Farm are so lovely, so welcoming. And yeah, I definitely recommend it. You know, and they gave me some money to do it. Yeah.
That's incredible. I have to say, huge shout out to the New Zealand Homeopathic Society, because they have also donated quite a nice amount to the podcast to help me. They're saying that their policy is to promote homeopathy, and what I'm doing is promoting homeopathy. So they want to support my work. And, you know, it costs so much. It's cost me over $20,000 to produce the show, and we've had maybe about $5,000 in donations. So for them to have helped contribute to that is huge. So I'm so grateful to them. But how incredible that they've pulled their resources. Now you need one admin person as opposed to three admin people. You need one secretary as opposed to three, or is that still completely?
No, I think they'll still be separate bodies, because they will each have their own purpose. Like the college is education, and the council is sort of looking after homeopaths. That's their job. And then the society's sort of all and everything.
Really. That makes sense. And they've got the book room and all their other things that they do as well.
Yeah. So it's a really exciting time to be in New Zealand. And something extra exciting is my friend and colleague, Barbara Roberts, has put together a research proposal, and it's just in ethics at the ethics committee at the moment, to do a survey on all homeopaths in New Zealand to get some demographics going about homeopaths, you know, and who they are and what their practices look like, which is super exciting. I'm on her team. My job, I think, will come in when the information comes in, and I'll help collate it. But this is Barbara. She's put a lot of work into this. And we've got Alistair Gray, as a consultant. Yeah, because neither of Barbara and I have any research experience, but she's done an amazing job. It's a wonderful idea. I'm really, really excited about it, because it's going to help all those bodies and be really interesting for like the dispensaries and just all of us, you know, and build our future. So the purpose is to find out all the demographics for these things, but also we seem to have an older community of homeopaths that are reaching retirement ages. It's sort of getting this data together to prepare for our future as well, which I think all comes under the same, what the Homeopathy NZ is trying to do as well. So it's really exciting.
It's amazing whenever anyone comes together, but especially in the homeopathic community, which can sometimes be very fragmented because we so often are used to just working by ourselves in our own little home clinics. So now to see more homeopaths working collaboratively, and now homeopathic organizations working more collaboratively, like that is some cool stuff.
And it's something that really needs to happen. It really does. You're right. Like, it's such an isolating journey and practice. And I don't think homeopaths, there's a lot of industries that do work on their own, but I think homeopaths really need each other and to swap ideas and to learn. And also the things we see and hear from people can be quite a lot. We definitely need to partner up and to be a community. I've always thought this ever since I was at college, that we just need to come together, because as united, we are stronger.
It really is. And I think that you've got some study groups and stuff happening as well, don't you?
Yes.
Did I see, like, what's
this
it called?
This is all so exciting.
What's it called? Cake and Cases or something like that. I love the name. Did you come up with that?
No, I did not. So you know, Kate Fitness that
yes,
we went
yes.
to see.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Kate set up a study group or a support group at the society about 4 years ago, something like that. And then when the COVID and the lockdowns hit, it moved online.
Mm.
And last year, I think it was, I was like, I need a study group. If I can't find one, I'm going to have to create one, you know, or something. So I jumped on the network, the Homeopathic Network Facebook group in New Zealand.
And which me and you run.
Yes, which you created.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you kindly took over because that was in 2013. That group is 10 years old now, hey?
What?
We should have a party. Yeah. I started in my final year.
Let's do a party. So I jumped on there and said, does anyone want to do a study group? Should I start one? Is there one? And Kate jumped on and said, yeah, there is one already that I run on Thursdays at 5. And I was like, oh, okay. But I said, I can't make Thursdays at 5. I can't. I've got kids and it's just mental. We're always at soccer and things like that. I said, can we do another time? So she's like, sure. It's Kate, sure. So we started one on Wednesdays. So we've got, they're fortnightly. So we've got Wednesday 1 week and then Thursday the next week. Wednesday is a lunchtime one. So that covered a whole bunch of people. And then I went to Kate and said, look, I'd really like to start a study group for graduates. I think it's a really vulnerable, lonely place to come out of study and then to what? Now what? I have to start a whole, and you can be the best homeopath and just so talented, but then you have to start your own business. Like you have to have all those skills and everything like that. And I just think it's huge, that whole thing. And so she said, sure. So we came up with cakes, cases, and hot chocolate.
Oh,
yeah. So there's the cakes, cases, and wine. But Kate, you know, now they're called the winos and the hotties. So it's so cool. And there's so many wonderful people on them. And yeah, Kate and I share a quirky sense of humor, really. And that one's on a Tuesday evening fortnightly. And we, you know, it's great. We share resources and all of them. There's messenger groups for each group and they're very active. Everyone chucks on things in there. Oh, it's just a game changer and it feels so good to have people to talk to, people to bounce ideas off, you know, get suggestions, just the support in every way that you need because only homeopaths know what it's like to be a homeopath. So we need each other, I think.
Absolutely. Those new graduates are so lucky to have you. I wish we had that. I don't know if you had that when you graduated, but I definitely didn't. It was
really strange. But I went up to Leanne and asked her to take me on.
That's true. Yeah, you did. Sorry, I'd even forgotten about that. So, that was super smart of you. I mean, Leanne was and probably still is one of New Zealand's top homeopaths. So you were super smart to like, okay, I'll let y'all do this one. And I can imagine you would have learned some, incredible things there that you never would have been exposed to otherwise if you were sitting in your own little home clinic all by your lonesome.
Exactly. I mean, when I found out, it dawned on me in my fourth year that I was going to have to leave the college and go into space, you know, like, and I was like, I've always been better in a team. And we had Leanne in my fourth year. She came on as a teacher and she was brilliant. And I was like, oh, I like her.
She was. I've mentioned her a couple of times in the podcast, but not her name, just especially with me and Marcus's chin wags, because I was so shocked. I saw in this Facebook group, somebody said that their lecturers said to them, if you want to make money, don't study homeopathy. But, you know, we had Leanne as this beacon of light, who's a single mum supporting her and her daughter with her income and running this fabulous clinic and dispensary and just telling us that, yes, you can make a really good career out of homeopathy. And I was like, well, this woman's doing it, so I can too. But if somebody is telling you, no, you can't, you know, you can't make money being a homeopath. It's not a, you know, financially viable career choice. And you're a new student and you're like, oh, what have I just done? Just made all this debt for nothing. Whereas Leanne was there, this beacon of hope, like, yeah, you can do it. Look, I'm busy doing it. So I'm really grateful to her and her lectures were the most fun out of everyone. She made the remedies come alive.
Oh, I tell you what, she could, enthrall a stadium of people. Like, she is really amazing at education and communication and just, you know, edge of your seat stuff. We were on the edge of our seats with her lectures, weren't we? Like, you know, so that was really cool.
I actually had a conversation with somebody yesterday and we were talking about how often the lecturers are not the ones that necessarily have the busy practices. So often because they don't have a busy practice, they might end up lecturing. Whereas with her, we were very lucky that she had a super busy practice. I mean, she didn't need to teach us. I'm sure she was making nafters with her clinic, but she chose to pass that knowledge on. And I think in universities around the world, it would be great to see more of that. People who have successful businesses in whichever industry they are in, if it's science or biology or whatever, people who are on the ground have practical knowledge, not just book knowledge. She didn't just have book knowledge. She had practical knowledge of what you need in the clinic. That's also why I love CHE, because all their practitioners have got, they're practicing homeopathy, all their lecturers are practicing homeopaths with busy clinics that then lecture. Mm. That's what I really liked about her as well. Like, I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah, they do make extraordinary lecturers too, because they're showing you the model of what can happen, you know.
But I guess also teaching is a different skill set, you know, like a homeopath and being a lecturer and being a business owner, they're all such different skill sets.
It is so true. I've been thinking about this a lot. And yeah, there's teachers, there's educators, there's communicators, there's like support people, there's like people are good at business, people are good at, you know,
the marketing. I mean, the marketing as well. Hey, like there's so many different aspects to this.
We need to be them all as a homeopath. Yeah, and definitely. I think that's where we really need to come together. Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. So what's some of the fun things that you've discussed in your cake and cases and hotties or wine?
What haven't we discussed?
And what are the new graduates like coming through? Are they excited about, you know, what's happening in homeopathy? Are they a bit fearful? Like, what's the vibe like?
I think that it feels quite similar to our classes, that you've got the ones that are like, woo, and there's ones that are, oh, you know, and yeah, it does feel familiar, even though it's been about 12 years since I graduated. I still remember what it felt like to graduate and all those mixed emotions and going into the world and am I going to be any good at this?
Yeah, and I'm guessing you share lots of resources, books and courses and all sort that everybody finds helpful. And
yeah, we've got Barbara, who is doing a teaching degree alongside everything else that she does. And she often presents a thing. Like, we have people who will know a bit about a certain topic or remedy or something and just present it to the rest of the group. And so we have our own sort of education going on. Like, it's all very relaxed. Last Tuesday we did GEMS and some of us brought cases and information and just presented it, and so that we all learnt. Yeah, that's really cool. Lots of participation and all very relaxed and very fun, lots of humour. You know, you need a sense of humour in this job, really.
Definitely. I know with a lot of psychology jobs, I don't know exactly how the psychology boards work, but I know that they're only allowed to take a certain amount of clients per week, and you have to schedule in for a debrief session with another professional psychologist X amount of times. I don't know if they have that in Australia, but I do remember somebody I spoke to, they were saying in their country, you're only allowed to see 15 clients a week, and once a month you have to have a professional psychology session yourself. And I think that debriefing is so important. I mean, with the homeopaths on my team, every Friday at 9 a.m., so in an hour's time, we have our catch up. And that debrief is so important. Like, now and again, I'll chat stuff with my husband, but I can see he's completely like, you know, over the years, I think he's learned to just like shut his brain off because he's like, oh. But you really need that professional debriefing and somebody that you can talk things over with. And yeah, it's really important.
Yeah, it is really important. And it just, you know, the suggestions, like if you're stuck on a case and you're sort of like, this is my strange rare peculiar or the essence, and boom, you know, you get these suggestions from this hive mind. But that whole professional that psychologists go through, what they have is something that I think we need, definitely. We don't really have those things set up for homeopaths, and I think we need them myself. And yeah, I have a lot of ideas around that too.
Yeah, go for it. Want to share them? Please share them.
Yeah, they're sort of brewing. I think the first part is having somewhere to talk about it at all. But yeah, I think that the council really are looking at things like that too, from what I understand. So yeah, I wouldn't mind having a chat with them about what their ideas are and putting some in. And
it's always a catch 22. And I find that more and more with all the people I've interviewed on the show is it would be really good if we had a little bit more regulation, but at the same time, it's a double-edged sword when you go down that track. You know, like I look at homeopaths that I've interviewed in other parts of the world where they all have to be registered medical doctors for them to practice homeopathy. Mm-hmm. Or even if in Australia, if we ended up going under ARPRA, which is what the osteopaths and the chiros and the physios are under, we would have been mandated during COVID. So we wouldn't have been able to practice if we didn't, you know, have the shots. So it's good to have a little bit more structure, because I think some homeopaths are taking the piss. And so I'm just thinking more specifically with this one. And I say that, but also not, because everybody works so differently. And somebody that I think now is taking the piss, a year down the track, I'm doing that myself. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Why didn't I discover this earlier? Because everybody's practicing so differently. I'm just more specifically thinking of this one post I saw in a Facebook group of a client who said that they saw this homeopath, and then the homeopath called them afterwards and said, I have to pray with you to find out which remedy. I mean, that sort of stuff. Like, if there was more structure, then that wouldn't happen. Now, if you advertise right from the start that you're a homeopath that prays with people, that's totally fine. And some people are going to absolutely love that. But if that's not your vibe and suddenly this person wants to pray with you, and you're like, this is not what I signed up for, that gives homeopathy a bad name. So sometimes I think I wish there was a little bit more structure where we are told, okay, you have to have a professional session with another homeopath, you know, once a month, or you have to do X amount of professional development hours. Because the other thing is, we don't have to be registered in Australia or New Zealand to practice. And I've had this thing in Australia where I've been registered with three organizations, but none of them have actually been much value to me. So now I've just registered with HINT, which is the Homeopathy International.
Oh, yeah.
Carol Boyce. So I've just registered with them. So I think I'm their first Australian member, which I'm really excited about, because they are just really more focused on homeopathy. A couple of the other ones I was at was more naturopathic ones. And literally with both of them, it went a whole year and there wasn't a single homeopathic professional development thing coming through. And I'm like, why am I paying $300 if you are not going to cater to my needs? So I'm really excited to be with HINT now.
I think what we need is guidelines. Mm. So maybe not so much to be restricted and all those things, but we do need guidelines on what is healthy practice and that it should be adopted, really, like, you know, having someone to talk to weekly or fortnightly and taking care of yourself and all those things that the other modalities and healthcare, you know, streams have, and we don't. And yet we deal with big things that can be quite stressful and traumatic, really, hearing that sometimes, I think. And yeah, I think we just need some more support.
Mm.
And it's up to us also to do that. If we don't want to have to make it a regulation or anything like that, maybe it's up to the homeopath to sort of, but it would be nice to have some guidelines that you can choose to, you know, to take care of yourself with.
Absolutely. Well, now you've got those three organizations in New Zealand coming together. Hopefully that's something that they can put together. Did you say that that is something that they are possibly working on, creating some guidelines?
No, that's just me.
That's you.
It's just me sort of, this is what I brew in my head. And yes, I just think, and just what are we lacking?
Mm-hmm.
Because I know a lot of homeopaths that have come out of graduation and gone lost. You know, not lost. They're not lost. They're just not practicing, and they're really talented, and they, I remember what they're like at college, and it makes me sad that they're not practicing because they have so much to give. And so, yeah, I do spend a bit of time wondering what we can do to make sure that those people have pathways, because when you qualify, you don't go, okay, I'm going to get a job at, there's like a couple of places you can get a job as a homeopath, you know, after you qualify. There's not really many pathways. So that would be really cool to see more pathways come about.
Absolutely. You have just hit the nail on the head there. It's really worrying for me how many homeopaths go through all that study and then don't end up practicing, and they just end up going working at Kmart or just going back to their old jobs because, you know, it's safe money. But you know in their soul that they're not fulfilled, because, you know, you see how homeopathy lights them up at college and you know that that's what they want to do, but they just don't,
that can't put the bits together of how do you need to actually have a practice. So your study groups that you're doing for these new graduates is really good. But that would be a big thing if we can just get these homeopaths out and practicing instead of just doing the study and then just dropping out. I mean, out of our class, it'll be really interesting to know who's actually practicing.
Yeah. And I mean, Barbara's research will be really helpful there as well to see who's not, you know, how many are not practicing.
Interesting.
And just a note on that, the survey will go live soon once it gets through ethics. And this is a call to all homeopaths to find other homeopaths and find them wherever they are, because they're everywhere, you know, just the nooks and crannies of New Zealand to do the survey. We just want every homeopath that we can to do the survey, because then the data will be far more complete. There will be prizes. There's prizes for filling it out. And it will only take 8 to 10 minutes, I think. Oh. Barbara and I both did it in about 7 or 8 minutes. And
where would people get hold of that? So who do they need to follow or to make sure that they find out when it goes out?
Yeah, so there'll be the council will let people know, the society will let people know. We'll put it in the Homeopathic Network Facebook group. We'll probably advertise it on Facebook. I think that's what we're doing. It will be in the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, and people like Mike at Smilamimit will send it out in newsletters, things like that. So we're just trying to find everyone, and so we can get the best data. Because so that things like that, like these are great ideas for graduates, but yeah, that will give the background picture to move forward for what needs to happen in the future.
Barbara Roberts has got quite a good professional Facebook page as well. So she often shares great advice there. So I'm guessing if it comes out, she'll probably share it on there as well.
Yeah. And there'll be an email address to ask questions or anything like that. So I think it should get out to most people, hopefully, if we can just, if you're a homeopath and you find out and you have a homeopath mate that's not on Facebook or something, then you need to nudge them on the shoulder to do it, you know, take your laptop round and get it done.
And if you're a homeopath in New Zealand and you haven't joined our New Zealand Homeopathic Network Facebook group yet, you're welcome to join us. It's been going for 10 years. Yay. Jess, can we have a little chat about Radar Opus as well? Because you've been their rep for a few years now. I remember when we were studying, and I think it was about 2011 or 2012. Tell me a little bit about Radar Opus as well. Now, you became the rep a few years ago, and I remember Mike from Similimum coming and seeing us in college in about 2012, I think it was, and showing us Radar Opus program. And I bought it straight away because it's just such an amazing tool. And I've added loads of more books and modules and things to it over the years. And now it's just such a powerhouse. And it's opened my email up first thing every morning when I open my laptop up. And the second thing I open up is Radar Opus. I could not live without it. And sometimes I just sit there and just read through some of the books. There's so many books in there. And I've actually, like a few of the books that I've since bought, electronic modules in Radar, I've just given the books away to other homeopaths, because I love the search, like the control find function within the document. Like say if I knew, I do this often with Patricia Hatherley's module on the lack remedies that I had added. So if I think somebody needs a lack remedy and I think they might need like lack equinum, I'll quickly go control F and I'll type in horse, and then the module on that will come up and I can have a quick little read. So it's so much quicker than grabbing a book, flicking through, trying to find it. Just having all these books added into Radar Opus on top of the repertorization is kick-ass. So how did it come that you took over from Mike, right? And you're the New Zealand rep for Radar Opus now.
Yeah, so just going back a bit, I think it was about 2010 that Radar Opus was launched. I might have that year wrong, but I bought it that year from Mike because they had handed me this piece of paper and said, do your repertory with this piece of paper, and you had to check the little boxes.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And I did it once. It took me like hours and hours and hours. And so I bought the program. You know, that was it. I think I did it once I did all the rest of them with the Radar Opus. So I had it for a number of years before I took it over as the rep. And Mike we were outside, they were having their AGM, the New Zealand Council of Homeopaths, at the Dunedin conference. And I was there chatting with Mike, and I think Peter Tominello was there for a bit too, which is kind of cool. And then Mike just sort of said, he popped into my mind, I wondered if you'd like to take over Radar Opus, because I just can't give it what it should, you know, I can't promote it like it should be promoted. I just don't have this the time to do radar opus as best it could be. And I was like, yeah, okay. So it was no great, you know, thing, you know, a little conversation outside of the conference. And I really love it. I mean, I loved the program already. The people are really lovely. Have you interviewed Marco?
Well, they had this beautiful webinar with Marco and with Luke and with Frederick, where he shared the history of Radar Opus. So I contacted Luke and I said, can I use the audio of that webinar and just put it on the podcast? And then just the other day, I got to interview Frederick. So that's really, the episode's just gone out.
Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll be listening to that. Yeah, he's wonderful. So I get to deal with him because we're in New Zealand. We're on the opposite time zones of everybody. So I miss a lot of bits and pieces, but Marco's really kind and he just will meet up with me and fill me in. And, you know, I deal with the lovely support people. They're all really nice. And it's such a nice business. They're not about making all the monies. They're about helping homeopathy as well. I think that every homeopath that's practicing should have a repertory because it saves so much time and you just can't, well, I can't fit all the remedies in my head and all the proving symptoms. When you think that, I think it's Pulsatilla has what, 30,000 symptoms. I can't remember all of those. So thank goodness my program does. And in the early days when I used to go into clinic, I would take a bag of books, like a huge suitcase full of books. And I think do you remember at college, like the teachers wheeling around there?
Yeah, books. Absolutely. Yeah. And I had that as well when this one clinic that I worked at, I would take my books back and forth. And it was like a travel suitcase full of books back and forth.
Yeah, so I don't need to do that. All I have to do is take my little laptop and I can work from anywhere because I've got all the books and things in there. And once you know how to use it, it's really quite straightforward.
I really need to go on to, because Radar Opus has got like loads of videos on their website. What's it called? The Radar Opus, I think, University or something like that.
Academy. Yeah.
Academy, that's the one. I need to go do more of those because I know I'm not utilizing it to the full potential. And I once actually booked like a private session with Luke to just give me a bit more of a rundown. And he taught me a couple of really handy tools that I use all the time now because he's such a whiz, hey, with the technology side of things as well. It's like, holy moly. But that session was really helpful because I really just need to go and sit on the Academy videos and just go through more of them because there's so much you can do with it.
It is so massive, and I do hear that a lot. I know there's so much more I could be doing with it. Yeah. So I am tinkering with the idea of doing a monthly radar training.
Do it.
It's bubbling in the back. I've just got to make sure I have the time to put aside for it because, yeah, that is a common problem. And there's simple things like just the way you can search. You can search three different ways in Radar Opus. You can search through the book as if you are opening the book. So you go through the book and chapter and find your rubric. Or you can search a keyword. Or you can use what I use as the advanced search, where you can use a couple of keywords. And then it just pulls out those words from every book, every repertory, every proving journal that Radar Opus has in your system, whatever package you've got. And you can look through all of it just like that. Just a couple of words, dunk, 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 pew, just like that.
Do you know sometimes you really, because our repertories are some of them 200 years old, so sometimes the words that are used is not what we would use these days. And one, like for example, I have a lot of children with autism in my clinic, and often one of the symptoms they will often do is hit themselves in the head or hit their head against something. And so I will go, and if you were looking in a book, in a repertory, a physical book, you might look under like H for hitting, but then the word is actually striking. But then if you go in like radar and you type in hitting, it will automatically redirect you to striking. But also, if you write striking, you will miss any rubrics that have the word strike in it, S-T-R-I-K-E. So what you then do is S-T-R-I and you do an asterisk and then it encompasses all those words, strike and striking. Like that's the thing that I really like because there's so often you will miss a rubric because you will... just the word will be incorrect or you will have the wrong like suffix of the word. So that's that asterisk trick that Luke taught me, that's like, that was a game changer for me.
Yeah, I think what I really like about the synthesis is that they have suggestions. So you you might actually search for a rubric that you know, and then it will come up with all these blue suggestions of what you might actually mean. So, yeah,
breaking down the road. That's a really, really good one. Like, I think it was desire to be alone or something like that the other day. So I just type DES asterisk and then alone asterisk, and then it comes in, the actual rubric will come up, but then it has suggestions under there as well of things that tie in with that, like four or five other rubrics that you wouldn't have thought of. And it's so great. Then you can drag them all into the clipboard and you can combine them so they then become one rubric with all of the remedies in there. I mean, I'm sure we can be like geeking out on this for like hours, but how do people, I'm trying to understand, how do homeopaths work without a tool like Radar Opus? What do they do?
I think some of them are like geniuses and can...
Imagine life without
it. I don't have the time to not have a repertory. I don't have the time to work out cases like that. And I very rarely just prescribe without, unless I'm really like, I've just seen this remedy come in and I'm like, I know exactly what you're doing. But I'll always double check in my books. And that's something I can do on Radar as well. I can just search the remedy and just double check the things that I want it to cover and things like that. So I very rarely don't use it every case. I've worded that interestingly.
I use it as well. What you're saying is you would use it for every case, not necessarily for the repertorization, but to check one of the books in there, or to, you know, the provings are in there as well. So the remedy chocolate, for example, there's actually not that much materia medica in it. I have got piles of materia medica, you know, Concordia and Prisma and Burica and so many Luke Norland's books, there's so many. And the remedy chocolate, there's like, I can't find any materia medica in any of those physical books of mine, but I can go onto Radar Opus and there is under the proving section, Jeremy Scher's proving of chocolate, and go and read up on that. So it's
boom. Yeah. Or you can look at chocolate and then what rubrics it's coming up
in. The reverse engineering of it. You taught me that one as well. So you type in the remedy and you reverse engineers, tells you which rubrics are associated with that. That's a really good tool.
Yeah, that's really cool because you can sort of get the theme out of that as well. Mm. And the Adonis, I don't know if you know.
Oh my God, I have Adonis is just next level. Do you know what? I get really excited about Radar, but Adonis,
it's so amazing.
It's next level. Oh, butterflies are coming up. I'm repertorizing and butterflies are coming up. You know, say Lepidoptera, and then you know you need to go look at the butterflies or the moths. Gemstones are coming up.
Yeah.
Moths, fungi, orchids, all these families. It's like,
it's so exciting. It's the language is easier. Like, there's a lot more rubrics that have modern language in it. And it is the blood, sweat, and tears of 12 years of what they've been working on. That's it for 12 years, and it costs not a lot. You can actually upgrade if you've got synthesis. If you've got Radar Opus and you've got synthesis, you can just upgrade your existing synthesis.
It was so cheap to do. I don't want to lie, but I think I paid maybe $100 or something to upgrade. I was shocked how little it was. It wasn't much at all to upgrade. And you know what I've done is I've re-repertorized a lot of cases. So a lot of cases where I've repertorized in the past and maybe I got a little bit stuck. You take that same rubric in Adonis. You know, the original rubric in synthesis might have had, in Radar Opus might have had, like, say, 20 remedies. And then you take that same rubric in Adonis and suddenly it's got like 200 remedies. And it's like, I was trying to think specifically of a case I was working on. I can't remember what it was, but I do remember I re-repertorized it and suddenly thyroidinum came up as a remedy with Adonis. And I was like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. I never thought of this remedy. It didn't come up in the original repertorization, but with Adonis, thyroidinum came up and I was able to use that with this client, which was so cool. So, so cool.
You've just reminded me of the Narayanis.
Don't even go there.
No, it's just like, Radar.
But can I just gush about one more thing about Radar Opus?
Yeah, sure.
their support team is amazing because I remember
so lovely.
I swear it was I think it was a Saturday or a Sunday. I know it was a weekend, and we had upgraded my computer and or gone to new. I think it was when I went from Windows to Mac, and made a huge mistake of not contacting Radar first, and then when I did the new computer, it wouldn't open. Like Radar Opus wouldn't open. And I had a fully booked clinic on the Monday and I was like shitting myself. And their support team was amazing. It was about 10 o'clock my time because I think it was one of the guys that's in Italy or somewhere. They ended up helping me on a weekend and everything was sorted. I walked into clinic on Monday like a pro. Nothing to see here, folks. They fixed my radar for me. It was working brilliantly. They were so friendly. And it's really great because even if you're not tech savvy, which a lot of our older homeopaths are not, because we do have more of it's an aging profession, but luckily we are getting lots more younger homeopaths. So a lot of them are not that tech savvy. But what's great is that these guys use a remote software. So they hop onto your computer. You can see everything they're doing on your computer. They remotely fix everything that you need to do. So you don't even need to be tech savvy. They just do it all for you.
They're brilliant. And the thing is that some of them are the ones that are involved in developing Radar Opus as well. So they know the program so well. And I mean, we kind of luck out a little bit being in New Zealand because we need to wait till the evening, but it's worth the wait because they really do it as quickly and as, yeah, I get a lot of people contact me first and then I need to put them on to support, which loses time. And I'm quite happy to do that because I understand the frustration of not having your computer work. You know, technology is wonderful until it's not working. But it would be better if they went straight to support and logged a ticket in the help desk because they're so amazing. They're so nice and they'll do it as quickly as they can for you. And they are staggered. So, yeah, they try and cover all the hours. But, yeah, because we're in New Zealand, we're right down the bottom. The time zones are, you know, it is a little bit like that. But that's where the app comes in. So there's a synthesis app.
I have it on my phone.
You have it? Yeah.
I do. I bought it about maybe 4 years ago. It was about $160. It's not the full version.
Something like that. It's pretty good. And I had to get it. I bought mine. This was before I was the representative as well, when I spilled tea on my computer. And I had no computer. So I got the app and it's really great. And it's also really great when you're out and about and you don't want to start up your computer and you can just want to have a look at a rubric or something like that for some reason. It's really quite handy to have on your phone.
It's very handy. Actually, hubby had an earache last night and I couldn't be bothered like firing up my computer. So I had my phone on me. So I just opened synthesis app. Left ear pain.
And so that's another very,
very handy
to have the app there.
I mean, hats off to the old masters that didn't have all this technology. I mean, they also didn't have this many remedies to work.
They didn't have as many remedies. But they were pretty amazing, weren't they?
Definitely. Jess, can you tell our listeners how they can get hold of you?
I am in Whangarei, but I see people New Zealand wide. I usually see people online, but you can come and see me in Whangarei. In John Street, I operate a dispensary out of the dance studio Just Thrive.
That's where you dance as well, I'm guessing.
Not always, but I just love being in a dance studio as well. And the owner's a friend of mine. I love it there.
And I love seeing your photos of when you do your shows and stuff. And this, it just looks so, it looks so fun. So, so fun. And it's great that you're doing it.
Yeah, the dance studio, that dance studio is ballet, jazz, tap, things like that. I like hip hop. I do hip hop, but I do their adults ballet. But anyway, so my business name is Fruition Mind Body Health and my website's up. You can book in with me there. I have a dispensary at this stage on my website. Yeah.
And you're on Facebook, facebook.com/ Fruition MBH or fruitionmindbodyhealth.co.nz.
Yes, that's me. So, cool. Yeah.
Awesome. Jess, it was so fun hanging out with you. I kind of forgot we were recording it. Just having a little catch up. I'm sure we could carry on for at least another couple of hours. But is there any final message that you want to leave our listeners with? Like a final little soundbite you want to send them away with?
Yeah, I think that sometimes we forget how fun homeopathy can be because it is serious. All the things that we see people for are very serious. That's true. But it's so fun learning about it. And sometimes I think we forget to have fun.
That's a beautiful message. Beautiful, beautiful message. Thank you. It was so fun hanging out with you. Have an amazing day. And keep us up to date on the survey. So hopefully between you and Barbara, you post it on your Facebook pages and hopefully people can get and follow those various organizations and find out when the survey is happening. And hopefully all these homeopaths that have kind of fallen through the cracks and hiding in their little corners of Aotearoa will pop up their heads and go, here I am, come fill out the survey and help Homeopathy New Zealand to have really good data to know where to take it from here into the future.
Yeah, absolutely. Tap the shoulders. I mean, I hang out with a couple of homeopaths in Whangarei, Rosemary Mathers and a lovely lady called Dean Cawthorn, and there's Debbie Betts, and I try and get together with them as much as possible. But then they know people. So then they will need, you know, we need to have sort of a branching system going out to get the survey done.
Absolutely.
It's good stuff.
Good stuff. Lots of love to you, my beautiful friend. It was so fun to chat with you.
Cheers, darling.